Hey there, everyone. It is Denise. Welcome to the show. Today, it is June 21st, and we are here to chat all things WWE NXT 2.0 here on Speak Now Pro Wrestling. And what a day it was, everybody. It was a very simple edition of NXT 2.0. I'm not going to sit here and say it was the best episode or the most hyped episode, but we're here. And we're going to talk about what went down and get you all caught up with the show. Before we get started, as you guys know, this podcast is sponsored by Wrestle Rumble. As always, we really love Wrestle Rumble on here. So at any point throughout the show, you are more than welcome to show some love to Wrestle Rumble. Give them some love on Twitter or on Instagram. On top of that, this is a very interactive show. So if you are here in the chat, make sure to take some part in the chat. Get active. Let us know what you're saying, what you're thinking, etc. And we'll pull in some people's opinions on all of this as well. And then Logan's 100 says, I had no idea this was on Twitch. Yes, I am live on Twitch and on YouTube. I've been live on Twitch and on YouTube simultaneously now for a while. So anyways, welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's go ahead and get right into the show, guys. I'll be real with you. This was a hard episode for me to get through today. I feel it was funny because earlier today I was on We're Live, Pal, and I was chatting with Garrett and with Andrew, and Garrett asked me a question. He's like, how's NXT 2.0 going? It seems like a lot of people have given up on the show, you know, in terms of giving up on it on the viewer, as a podcaster, etc. And I feel like the answer that I gave was, you got to ask every week. My answer is different because there are some episodes of NXT 2.0 which I've legitimately enjoyed. There's others where it's a little bit harder to get through, you know. I think today was one of those days. There were some things that I enjoyed, but I think that it was kind of a little bit of an episode where I struggled to kind of get through the entire thing. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the things that were good, the things that were mediocre, and the things that were just not that great. But let's go ahead and get right into it. So let's kick things off with the opening match, which was Solo Sikoa versus Grayson Waller. So this was interesting too, because the thing about Solo Sikoa and Grayson Waller is that they seem to be on two different points. They seem to have two different trajectories on the NXT roster. Solo Sikoa, for the most part, he's starting to get over. He's been over with the CWC audience. Personally, for me, you guys know I'm still not the biggest Solo Sikoa fan. If you were to ask me if I was a bigger Solo Sikoa fan or a Grayson Waller fan, surprisingly, my answer would be Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller, I like Grayson Waller. I feel like they just need to stick him in a story or in some sort of feud that he's literally, to me, in my opinion, Grayson Waller is like one story, one feud away from kind of being, you know, decent on the main roster to even more than that, because there's been so much stuff that Grayson Waller has done that I've personally enjoyed from the very beginning. Even before he started getting like this push on NXT 2.0, Grayson Waller was going out there and having some pretty decent matches that I enjoyed for the most part. And then he's pretty good on the mic. He's really good at getting that heel heat. People tend to, you know, see him and react. They actually react to him. So I'm actually a bigger Grayson Waller fan than I am Solo Sikoa. I know why Solo Sikoa is over for the most part with the CWC, but it just still hasn't happened for me. I haven't seen anything from Solo Sikoa that has been, you know, oh my God, like such a big deal, like nothing super big deal in terms of Solo Sikoa just there and just yet. But regardless, we ended up getting this match. We got Grayson Waller running his mouth. So Solo Sikoa jumps him and he's sick and tired of Grayson Waller running his mouth. That is the good thing about Grayson. Like I said, he makes people, well, you want to punch Grayson Waller in the face. It works. The heel persona for him works. This was unexpected though, because what we had here was Grayson Waller actually defeating Solo Sikoa. I thought it was unexpected because for the most part, they have been pretty good at like protecting Solo Sikoa and making him out to seem like, you know, a bigger deal. But the way that he lost is that Grayson Waller essentially exposed the turnbuckle, and that ended up helping out Grayson Waller when Solo Sikoa ran into it. And so that's how Grayson Waller was able to actually get the win. The match itself was fine. Again, he hit the cutter for the win and that was about it. It was a fine match, but nothing much else to add there, guys. I think it's more so I'd rather see Grayson in a different storyline. To me, and then for Solo Sikoa, I just need a little bit more of that connection with the audience, or at least with me, maybe. At least with me. But let's go ahead and see what they got here, what people are saying. Cadillac Carson is also surprised that they beat Solo Sikoa. I'm surprised too. Again, that's not something that I was really expecting from this. I legitimately did not expect it. And let's go ahead and continue on from here. This is one from Fernando Zayas, who thought that NXT was a little mediocre this week. Like I said, it was okay. Xeno Hour says fairly good episode, match heavy. Although like some of the matches were good, some of them were like, you know, etc. Let's go ahead and get into the next match. We had Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, versus Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. So I liked this match. It was very brief. It was a brief match. It wasn't by any means like some big, you know, breakout of a match, but I'll tell you why I liked it. There was two particular reasons why I enjoyed it. The first one is that these are two teams that I think are legitimately good teams together. They both bring two totally different things to the table, but they are good, solid teams. Like with Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, they are a couple levels above Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. Like they're not on the same level because Katana and Kayden have been, you know, a team longer. They've been on NXT 2.0 a lot longer. They've had a lot more opportunities. And so for me, like, yeah, they are on different levels, but to me, they are still good though. Both of them are. Like, I have high hopes for both of these teams. Katana and Kayden, they've got in this new gear. They got these like, you know, light up shoulder pads that look pretty cool. They got a pretty good vibe going. They're dancing along to their music. The spots that they do in all of their matches have been good for a very long time, because you got Kayden Carter that tends to bring more of like the hard hitting aspect from the duo. And then you have Katana Chance, who's, you know, Casey Catanzaro. She's the one who essentially brings all the high flying type of stuff. And she tends to get the floor where she usually does like her 6:30 and she gets the win at the end of the match. So I like what they are doing with them as a team. And so that's why I liked this match. They put them up against a team that's growing in the ranks with Yulisa and Valentina, and they gave them a good victory, a good win. I enjoyed this very much. I think that again, it got us to see more of Valentina and Yulisa, and it gave Kayden and Katana, I'm sorry, I'm not used to calling her Katana. They gave Kayden and Katana a really good win here. So I thought this was probably, I would say, on the good side of NXT today. Also, shout out to Valentina and Yulisa, because there's something about them that I've been like drawn to. And I think it's the fact that they're always coming out and they're like always smiling, and they've been pretty good so far. Again, they still need to, you know, work out some things. They'll get better, but they haven't been bad. We got a very generous super chat here from Jordan Booth. Thank you so much to Jordan, who says, working the night shift here in England, so get to join in. Thank you. Wow, you're watching all the way from England. Jordan Booth also says, you rock, Denise. Also, Roxanne to dethrone Mandy for sure. We'll get to that in just a second, because that is kind of the direction that a lot of us are pretty much expecting. At some point, Mandy is bound to lose the championship. And if you're going to put your dollar, put a bet on anybody, chances are it'd be Roxanne Perez. And again, thank you so much for watching all the way from England. I really appreciate that. Seriously. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. So this is another comment from Cadillac, who says, I think there's a potential with Valentina and Yulisa. Completely agree. Lots of potential there, I think, too. So good for that. There we got Mike New York in here, says mid NXT tonight. It was a little mid, guys. It was a little mid, unfortunately. All right, so Jordan Devlin is coming to NXT 2.0. He has a name change though. He's no longer Jordan Devlin. He is now JD McDonough. How did they pronounce his name on commentary? Because I'm gonna call him JD McDonut. JD McDonough is what I'm seeing, even though it's JD McDonough. I don't know. I didn't even listen properly as to how they were saying this. But they had him, you know, driving in a car, driving countryside, making his way to NXT 2.0. We don't know exactly when he's coming. He's coming soon. Good for him. Great. And he's now JD McDonough. I'm just going to call him JD McDonough. I think that's a lot more interesting than McDonough, but we'll see what happens here. YT says, bruh, I'm sick of these name changes. Jordan Devlin was a perfect name. You know, there's some name changes where I'm like, the name change isn't necessarily terrible, right? Some are okay. Some are, you know, some are not good. Some are okay, right? But I think for me, it's the issue that I'm finding is that it's harder for me to call them by their new names, especially when there's been so many changes, because I forget. Like, it's not that I forget. It's just that I already know this person as, you know, what we've seen them for such a long time. Like Casey Catanzaro, like, for her, it's so hard for me to call her Katana Chance. Like, I feel like I'm talking about an entirely different person. It's so hard for me to go from Casey to Katana. And that's not that big of a deal, but it's just like, Casey just seemed a little bit more natural for her. And then we have Kaylee Ray, and we're, you know, now she's Alba Fire. And it feels weird calling her Alba Fire when I've already known her for so long as Kaylee Ray. I don't know what it is. Especially when so many of them happen at the exact same time, that's when it gets a little bit confusing. If they were happening a little bit more spaced out, then I would, you know, it would stick a lot easier, you know? DF and Ray says, is it McDonough? McDonough? I don't. Now it's starting to sound like McDonald's. My goodness. I just don't know. Brandon says it's spelled McDonough. Oh, like McDonough? Jesus. Okay, so it's spelled McDonagh. I could see McDonough. Okay, but now I'm not seeing it that way. Now it's either McDonut or McDonald's or something along those lines. Eric Brady says, you get used to it. Nobody stumbles when saying Santos Escobar now. At some point, but that's the thing. Like, when it's so many at the same time, that's when you're like, oh, shit. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot this person's name change, you know? It happened too close for too many people. That's the problem for me there. But let's go ahead and continue on from here. So anyways, Jordan Devlin, he's coming back to NXT 2.0, and he is going to be JD McDonough. I think. All right. Wesley promo, guys. This was my favorite thing about NXT 2.0 here today. This was the first thing on the show at this point of the show that legitimately caught my attention and kind of had me going, oh, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I'm watching and I'm kind of just there on autopilot, you know, just watching and waiting to see for something to surprise me, something to really kind of get some sort of emotion out of me. And this thing with Wesley was the first thing that happened on the show where I legitimately thought, oh, okay, well, let me pay attention. Let me see what they're doing here. And we've been talking about this for weeks now, ever since, you know, the whole situation with Nash Carter went down, with the person that was, you know, aside from Nash Carter that was affected by this and, you know, that whole thing. But the person that's still here in WWE that was affected by this was Wes Lee. He went from the mountaintop of being NXT champion, being the hot new tag team in WWE, and oh, MSK is so cool and this and that. And it was a little rocky for them. It was a little rocky for them in the beginning, but for the most part, it wasn't too terrible because, again, they were NXT champions. So NXT tag team champions, excuse me. And so you go from coming in as a hot new team and becoming NXT tag team champions to this big scandal happening that essentially caused your partner to be gone. And if in any other situation, if somebody leaves, somebody's gone, okay, like if you're a singles wrestler, okay, fine. You know, it sucks, but that person's gone, right? But in this situation, it affected another person that was legitimately had nothing really to do with this other than the fact that they were friends with Nash Carter and that they were a tag team and this and that. But Wes Lee ended up losing a lot with Nash Carter leaving, well, with Nash Carter being released from the company. And so from then, Wes Lee to today has really not been... I'm not going to say like, oh, he hasn't been featured because he has been on the show, but it hasn't been good for him. He doesn't have like a specific character, and NXT 2.0 is very, very character heavy, and he doesn't have like anything specific. He's been in these random matches with Zion Quinn that people, well, at least me, didn't really care about. And so it necessarily hasn't been screaming great stuff for Wes Lee. And so today when he came out and, you know, he's out there in the ring, he's by himself with the microphone, And he's talking to the crowd and he's basically saying, you know, thanks for the love. You guys, you know, thank you for the love. Right. And at this point, the CWC starts, you know, chanting and, you know, kind of, you know, just saying thank you and this and that, basically showing some love to Wesley. And then after this, this is where, like, you know, Wesley was given, you know, bullet points here, but he legitimately showed real emotion. So if you did not watch this, this wasn't like faked emotion. This wasn't like go out there and make yourself cry. No, there was legitimate emotion during this Wesley promo because he went out there and he basically said, you know, the last 3 months I've had these highs and these lows. And, you know, he said like in the last 3 months to go from the highs to the lows has been very hard. And then he kind of talks about, he talks about, you know, losing his partner. He doesn't, I don't think he didn't outright say Nash Carter's name. He didn't really mention, you know, what actually happened, but he alluded to, you know, losing, you know, his partner and all of that. And then he legitimately got emotional, legitimately got teary eyed, like tears, you know, coming down his face. And so for me, it was watching this was like, damn, like I could only imagine that, you know, he was given this material, but when it rings true to what you're legitimately going through, it's not going to be hard to go out there and actually show that emotion. So this came through very, very strong that Wesley is essentially, damn, like it sucks. It's a position, he's in a sucky position, and now he's going to try and bounce back from that. So anyways, this was good. This was good because we got raw, real, genuine emotion here. After this, we had Trick Williams come out. And Trick Williams starts kind of getting in his face saying like, oh, maybe you weren't that good of a friend. Maybe it was your fault, this and that. And then Wesley had a really good line that I really liked because he tells him like, no, 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 no. Like, you don't get it. You don't understand because we grew like... He was saying like, you know, him and Nash, like they were partners. They worked really, really hard to get to the point that they were at. And, you know, they went through this and they went through it together. And then he tells Trick Williams, you wouldn't know this because all you ever do is play second fiddle to your homeboy. And that's obviously alluding to Carmelo Hayes. And he's telling him like, you're always hyping him up. And so I like this. I like that we had this like difference in like, oh yeah, Trick Williams and Carmelo, they're friends, but they're not, you know, maybe friends the way that Wesley and Nash Carter were. So I kind of like those differences being brought up in this promo. So I really, really liked this. I think this is the best thing they've had Wesley do since the breakup of MSK. But now it's like, how do you follow up from that? Where do you follow up from that? Do you find a new partner for him? Do you have him go a singles route? What do you do? Because it's still not completely clear what they've decided to do with Wesley. But this was definitely, I think, a step in a positive direction, at least for the most part. So there you go. That was the whole deal with Wesley here today. So let's go ahead and see what people are saying. This is from Christopher, who says that Wesley versus Carmelo Hayes in the future would be a great match. It definitely would because they have, I think they can both work a really fun, nice pace. I think it would be really good here. And let's see what else we got. This is from Zeno Hour, who says Wesley's promo felt real. I think it was for the most part. I legitimately think it was, because dude, like the guy legitimately had tears. He was like, you guys seen the movie Cry Baby with Johnny Depp where he cries that like one tear and then puts it in a jar? Wesley did have that tear there, and so I kind of really feel like that was legit. You know, I feel like it was legit. And if it wasn't, let's just say that was like completely and utterly scripted and he said every word verbatim, you know what? He's a lot better of an actor than I thought. But I legitimately thought he did a pretty good job there. And Daniel Rodriguez says, you honestly think they'll ever bring Nash back? I don't know. I don't know, guys. I don't know because I know there was a movement on Twitter where I forgot what that hashtag was, but there was a hashtag going around like during this time, the whole controversy with Nash Carter and just everything that was going down with, you know, Kimberly, et cetera. There was a hashtag going around where people were, you know, defending or, you know, wanting Nash Carter to get his job back, et cetera. And, you know, it's just one of the situations where there's repercussions. And WWE was not going to essentially, they were not going to like get into this I guess you can say, PR mess for Nash Carter. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. And when that picture, especially the picture, I think the picture of him with the Hitler stuff, I think that's really what was the thing that WWE was like, all right, you know what? That's out there now. We're not gonna be able to make this work, dude. You're out. Sorry. Bye bye. So I don't know if they'd ever bring Nash Carter back, but it is interesting that, you know, he was brought up today, not necessarily by name, but still pretty much alluded to heavily. Like, everybody in that room knew who he was talking about, etc. So I wonder if this is going to be the last time we hear about this and Wesley just really goes into a new direction, or if they're going to keep this going. I have no idea. Legitimately no idea. All right, so let's go ahead and see what else we got here. This is from Justin Martin, who says that he really enjoyed Trick's part of the segment more than Lee's. That's actually pretty interesting. Well, it was very different because Trick Williams isn't going to go out there and cry. He was pretty much like going out there and just like being a jerk to Wesley as he was like pouring out his heart out there to everybody there. AU says, I need to watch Crybaby again. Good movie, man, with a lot of good songs. Oh, I love that movie. Anyways, let's go ahead and continue on from here. And this is Daniel Rodriguez, who says, or they bring in Trey Miguel when his contract expires. I don't know about that because I remember, God, where was it? And please, I don't remember verbatim, but I do remember Triple H kind of being a little bit not so, he didn't have the greatest things to say about Trey Miguel. Like, he didn't actually call him out by name, but I believe like some of the things that he said were just a little bit like, it was a little bit interesting. The whole thing with why they didn't bring Trey Miguel in, there's still a lot more questions than answers there. So I would be a little bit surprised if they did. But I mean, obviously, you know, Triple H is doing something totally different now. But Trey Miguel is a freaking great performer, a great performer. There was, at least in my opinion, no reason not to bring him into NXT 2.0 in the first time when they brought out, the other members of the Rascals. I think they could have easily brought Trey Miguel in, but apparently they didn't see it the same way. But either way, Trey Miguel is a great freaking performer, and I think he's only getting better and better on Impact Wrestling. So they could bring him in. I think it'd be great, but who knows? Who knows? All right, so before we continue on, everybody, just a friendly reminder that tomorrow I will be back once again for AEW Dynamite coverage, and it is going to be the final AEW Dynamite heading into Forbidden Door. I will be at Forbidden Door. I'm very excited about it. I'll be in Chicago for like maybe 48 hours or I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. I look at my calendar for the day, and that's when I know I'm in, and that's when I know I'm out. But I'll be in Chicago, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Forbidden Door and seeing what the vibe is like, especially with the incorporation of New Japan Pro Wrestling and all of that. So that should be good. On top of that, guys, on Thursday, I will be live on my YouTube channel doing a prediction show for Forbidden Door with Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez will be doing a one-on-one stream with me that day. That is the first time we've ever done. That's going to be the first time we ever do a one-on-one stream. So that's going to be very exciting. I've done one with Dave before. I've done a show with Brian before in the past, but never like one-on-one. So I think this will be really fun. And that's going to be happening on Thursday. But now let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go into the Legado del Fantasma match, which is Joaquin Wilde and Cruz Toro versus Roderick and Damon Kemp. This was a very, very quick match. There isn't even really much that I want to say about this right now, but Roderick and Kemp get the win. They get the win, but it was essentially because two dives trips Del Toro, and so that basically messes things up for them, and that's essentially how they ended up losing the match. So it was a lot of the interference stuff playing into this whole story that ended up costing them the victory, Legado del Fantasma the victory, and allowing Roderick Strong and Kemp to get the win. So I didn't really care for this, which was probably one of my least favorite portions of the show. Like, I just didn't really care for this. Let's go ahead and move on from here. After this, Toxic Attraction. So instead of challenging Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship, Roxanne Perez and basically says that she's partnering with Cora Jade and is challenging Gigi Dolan and JC Jane for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. And I think for the most part, this started to become very clear and very obvious to us from the very beginning, because they had Roxanne Perez in the NXT Breakouts Tournament, but during that whole, know, while she's, you know, getting her shine on and all of that, they were putting a lot of emphasis into the storyline with her and Cora Jade being friends prior to their WWE days. And we got a lot of backstage segments with them together, some matches with them teaming up and going up against Toxic Attraction. So I think this was very obvious that we were going this direction with Roxanne and Cora Jade. I don't hate it because it gives Cora Jade something to do. It gives Roxanne Perez something to do. It adds to the tag team division because Gigi and JC are kind of getting a little stale as tag team champions. I think at this point, I'm very much over them being tag team champions. Like in the beginning, I thought they were bringing a lot. Obviously, they were a new act as Toxic Attraction, so they were doing fine. But now it's like the same thing over and over with Toxic Attraction, to the point where I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for something different. And it does suck, though, because I did want to see Roxanne Perez go after Mandy Rose as a champion. But I still think that maybe they can go a different direction and, you know, wait until Roxanne and Cora kind of do their own thing. And then maybe they can have Roxanne Perez go after the title. So I'm thinking maybe it's just them not wanting to pull the plug on that so soon. You know, save it. Let's save it for a bit. And when the moment's really, really right, have Roxanne Perez eventually become NXT Women's Champion. So I do not hate the idea of her and Cora teaming up together and going after the championship. Actually thinking, you know, it's going to give them more time to grow and establish themselves on the roster. And again, it gives Cora something to do too. And I think that they're fun together. They got good chemistry. I think it's definitely going to work. Mike New York says, who faces Mandy? You know who I think should be facing Mandy and she should get out of the program that she's in right now? It's Alba Fire. Alba Fire should be facing Mandy. I would love to see Alba Fire, which you guys know, Kaylee Ray. I would love to see her, you know, go into that with Mandy and actually get the championship and just freaking change things up, because it's the same thing with Mandy right now. Like, I love Mandy Rose and I love what she's been bringing to the table here on NXT 2.0. She's done such a dramatic shift from what we were seeing her and what she was doing on the main roster. But I think that Toxic Attraction just overall has become a little bit just too repetitive, a little bit of the same thing and nothing else there. So I do think there are other options. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Sheldon, who says, I feel like they're doing because Nikita Lyons will be the one to dethrone Mandy. And I wouldn't be surprised. Nikita Lyons, she's coming back next week. That was announced here today. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did go the Nikita Lyons direction, because she has gotten popular with the fans, guys. She has gotten popular. You know, she got people talking about her. And regardless, if you can get people to talk about you and you can get people to cheer for you, then they're going to start looking at things and going, maybe we got something here with Nikita Lyons. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went that direction as well. Thank you again to Shelton Jackson for this very generous comment here. Let's see what we got here. This is from Daniel Rodriguez, who says, I'm still waiting for Dana Brooke to come down to do NXT, a unification match with Mandy Rose, and Mandy Rose wins it and throws the 24/7 title in the trash. I think that's their way of killing some time on Raw. I'm not a fan of the 24/7 championship. It's become my least favorite thing on this planet, right next to Miz TV. But they're keeping it going, man. They're keeping it going. We got Danny the Red here, who says, I'd take Alba as champion. She could have some cool title matches with the rookies in the show. I agree. I completely agree. And one of the things I will talk about later on when we talk about Alba Fire is I've really been enjoying the presentation of her. She's always had a good presentation, but now with the flames and the fire and the people chanting, she's on fire. There's just a lot to play with there. A lot of marketing stuff to play with there. It's a good concept, because I feel like they can do a lot with it. Like, they can get really creative. Like, if I was the person running like the creative specifically for Alba Fire and coming up with ideas for her character, for merchandise and all of these different things you can do with the fire thing, the girl on fire type of thing, there is so much to do there. Like, so much. But anyways, thank you so much to Danny the Red for also sending in his thoughts in here as well. Now let's go ahead and jump into this backstage segment that we had with Kiana James. So Kiana James, we've seen a little bit of her throughout the last couple of weeks. She's relatively a new character here on NXT 2.0. And she has this backstage interaction with Indy Hartwell, where she basically tells her that she's holding back the women's division or something like that. But she's throwing shots at Indy Hartwell, basically saying that she lacks fortitude and this and that. And then Indy Hartwell basically ends it with, "This is NXT 2.0 and no one likes a bitch," which was a really, really good line. I really liked that. But I want to take a second and put over Kiana James here because I'm kind of really liking her. So one of the things I remember when we were talking about Tiffany Stratton was she had a good character. There was a good concept. It was a very easy character to do, right? But it took Tiffany a little bit to kind of get the character going and, you know, find her groove with it. So with that being said, Kiana James, with her character, I feel like she has found it a lot faster. Like, it's instant with Kiana James. Like, she went out there and she's kind of like the smart, she's supposed to be like, I think it's like the smart businesswoman or something like that. And when she came out and the way that she like delivered her promo, the tone and everything and the way that she spoke, it made sense to me. I was like, okay, I know who she is. I know who Kiana James is, and she hit the mark. So I feel like she got comfortable really fast with the character, and it shows because it wasn't like awkward or anything like that. So I was like, right away, I'm digging Kiana James here. Like, I gotta tell you, I'm interested to see what she's going to be doing. I think that mixing her in there with Indy Hartwell is pretty good too, because Indy Hartwell, for the most part, she may not be, you know, Becky Lynch in the ring or Sasha Banks, right? But she has a good character, and we've seen her. She's, you know, somebody that we've been seeing a lot on NXT. We already know who she is. And she's somebody too that, like Wesley, kind of lost a lot on the roster. A little bit different for her. I would say Wesley's case is a little bit more serious than Indy Hartwell's, but Indy Hartwell did lose, you know, her on-screen best friend and her husband and all of that. So she did lose some stuff. And so kind of putting her in this program with Kiana James, to me, is absolutely harmless. And I think with the character work, with the character work that Kiana James is bringing and the character work that we've seen from Indy Hartwell, I think they'll do a pretty good job together. So I'm looking forward to this. It's not going to be anything like bad, I think. Let's see what people are saying here. This is from Daniel, who says, "Indy Hartwell should be the next in line for a title match with Mandy Rose or a returning Io Shirai." I don't think Indy Hartwell should be in line for the title. And the reason I say that is because I don't feel we really have gotten to see her as an in-ring competitor. To me, she's been more of a character than an actual in-ring competitor, because even when she was out there, you know, doing those matches with Persian, I've spoken about this before, she really wasn't doing much. Like, she was doing the whole, "Oh my God, I'm having trouble with Dexter Lumis, and so I'm just hanging out here by the turnbuckle, you know, just watching Persian do this match, and, you know, I'm heartbroken and this and that." That was what we saw from Indy Hartwell. So I don't feel we've really gotten to see her as a strong in-ring competitor on NXT 2.0. So for that reason, I don't think she should be going after the NXT Women's Championship, and still she establishes herself as more so than a character. And let's go ahead and move on, because after this, we got the match that I absolutely loved. I loved this match. This was the best match of the night, and they really, really got something here. Let's talk about this one. It is Cameron Grimes versus Idris Enofe. Dude, I absolutely loved the pace of this match. This is the match that I feel put Idris Enofe. If you watch this show and you watch this match, I think you're seeing Idris Enofe in a different light now. Now, granted, he was already doing a good job. You know, I feel like from the very beginning, I don't think I've had anything like, besides positive stuff to say about Idris for the last couple of weeks or months or whatever. And today, this was really, to me though, where he kind of took things to that next level, because he had a banger of a match with Cameron Grimes. It was fast paced. He showed a lot of that athletic ability, you know, doing the over the top rope front forward flip, doing all of that type of stuff. And because Cameron Grimes can work at that speed as well, both of them going at it together, they had really good in-ring chemistry. I wasn't expecting their chemistry in the ring to be as good as what we saw here today. And it made me want to see more of Cameron Grimes and Idris. I freaking loved them together. I was a fan of this so much. And to me now, Idris Enofe, after this match, he should be on the map for NXT 2.0. Like, he should be somebody that we are talking about more so on NXT 2.0. Because for the most part, he's been in the background, he's been in the shadows. But him and Malik, have, for the most part, have been a pretty decent tag team from what we've been seeing so far. Still, from what we've been seeing so far, it's been perfectly fine. There's still a new tag team too. Still new faces here to NXT 2.0. But honestly, so much potential there with Idris Anofi. And especially after what we saw here tonight with Cameron Grimes, there's so much more there to be seen. So I was a fan of this. Cameron Grimes ended up getting the win here with his cave-in. Good match, good win. I loved it. I loved it. I was a fan of this. Let's see what we got here, and let's see what people are saying. We got a lot of people agreeing with the same thing about Idris Anofi. I don't feel like anybody can disagree right now just because the dude did a good job in this. He really legitimately did a good job. After this, we got Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews has been trying out this new character. More of like, I don't know, I forgot. Somebody on here had a pitch for what his character was last week. I see him now, like he's doing like the superhero type of stuff, you know, like he's going out there and, you know, he wants to fight bad people that are doing bad things. Last week we saw him basically attack a guy who is being rude to a waitress. This time I think he's like seen a dude getting jumped by like three other people or something, and he goes out there and he helps him out. So I really like this. I think Crews is doing a good job. You know, he's out there writing in his journal, which is a little bit different for Crews. I didn't see him as the writing in the journal type of guy, but he's been doing that so far. And I like it. I like it. I'm a fan. This is so much better than what he was doing before on the main roster. I can take him a lot more serious now. So these little skits that they've been doing, I've been a fan of these. With the co-ed dorms, Jesus, we got co-ed dorms with, I think, is it Thea? I forgot her name, guys. Is it Thea? So it's Bodhi and is it Thea? I think it's Thea. I forgot her name. They're roommates now at Andre Chase U University. I actually really liked this backstage little pro like skit that they did. Loved it because they basically had her unpacking her stuff. And Bodhi the entire time is like, wait, I'm having a female roommate. And she's like, yeah, I'm your female roommate. But she's bringing like all this energy and she's getting all crazy. She's so excited. She's like punching him. She's unpacking her clothes and throwing it all over the place. I want to put over the editing for this because I really liked the editing of this. The editing with the little music, I thought it worked really good, and it made me care about something that I haven't cared about at all. Like, you guys know the Andre Chase University stuff has not really been my cup of tea, but I enjoyed this little segment here. Thea Hale, thank you so much, guys. Thea Hale. I was like, is it Thea? What is it? It's Thea Hale. So I liked this. I thought this was a good little skit that they did here. We got a super chat from Brandon Rosen. Thank you so much to Brandon. Brandon says, I like how Apollo Crews is kind of a vigilante, kind of like Denzel in The Equalizer. That's the one someone said last week as well. He looks badass, and I think it's a good fit for him. I agree. Now, I never seen The Equalizer, but I did watch Daredevil. I used to love Daredevil. I watched Arrow with Stephen Amell. I loved all of that. So I get the gist of it all. So it makes sense to me that they're going this direction, especially because, like, you know, that's such a popular, easy concept to get over, especially nowadays with those types of shows and programming. They're very, very over, especially with like dudes and stuff and just like nerd culture overall. So I think that Apollo Crews being able to do something like this is a massive turnaround for him. Like, if I were him, I'd be like, yes, thank God I'm doing this now and not what I was doing before. I would be, you know, very, very happy about those changes if it were me. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. Before we get into our next topic here, heads up, everybody. I've been here talking about Wrestle Rumble and Forbidden Door for the last couple of weeks. Well, I have some good news because the Forbidden Door Pick'em contest is officially open. That is right. You can officially quickly head on over to WrestleRumble.com and you guys can go ahead and enter the Forbidden Door Pick'em contest. It's officially open. For those of you who are like, what the hell is this? What is this, Denise? Well, what it is you head on over to WrestleRumble.com, you purchase an entry, and basically in the entry, you get like a form, you get like a bunch of prop questions where they ask you things about what you predict is going to happen on the pay-per-view. And so they're going to have questions like, will Kenny Omega enter the ring at any point during Forbidden Door? Will the Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay match go over or under 17 minutes? Will any tables break during the Mox versus Tanahashi match? You know, a bunch of different questions like that. And it's really just, you know, you making predictions. And if you win, you win some cold hard cash, some legitimate money. Fourth place right now wins a mystery prize. Third place is going to take home $100. Second place is going to take home $200. And the first place winner will be taking home $500. That is a lot of good money, guys. A lot of good money. The cutoff time to enter the contest is this coming Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Once again, the cutoff time to enter the contest is this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And so make sure you guys enter. Once again, that is WrestleRumble.com. The links are in the description box below. And also, you can go ahead and follow them on Twitter and or on Instagram at WrestleRumble. I was about to plug in my own Twitter handle. I get so used to saying things sometimes that it just comes out the way that it comes out. But seriously, guys, give WrestleRumble some shout outs. Give WrestleRumble some love. I've done their prop questions before. And it's been really, really fun to actually go out there and be like, do I really think this is going to happen or do I not? I didn't win because clearly I suck, but you could win. I know one of my viewers in the past for Double or Nothing did actually win the grand prize of $1,000. So it is possible. But now let's go ahead and move on from here, because after this, we're going to go ahead and jump right into Von Wagner versus Brooks Jensen. Oh man, this was probably one of my other parts that I didn't like from the show today. This was just Von Wagner coming out and beating Brooks Jensen, works on the left arm, is smashing the left arm onto the apron. Brooks Jensen, He hangs in there a little bit. This isn't like a total squash. He does hang in there, but in the end, Von Wagner wins. The crowd boos him, and that's kind of where we're at. It's unfortunate, but nothing seems to be really sticking for Von Wagner as of right now. This was just something that I could not get into. Joe Gacy and the Dyad. So he's basically backstage and he's doing his little promo like he always does, right in the middle. And he's got his two guys on the both sides of him in their red hoods, etc. And he's talking about how the Dyad essentially left everything they knew to join Joe Gacy. And that at one point they were going to pack up and go home. But thanks to him, they are now reborn and ready to take on the world. And mentions they have tasted gold before, so they've been champions before, but now they're here with Joe Gacy and they're, you know, finding themselves in a new path. Oh man, I get the concept is cool. I just hope they don't necessarily stick with the whole wearing the red hoods and all of that, because that's not that great, man. It's not that great. Cadillac Carson says, from Von Wagner to Joe Gacy. Yikes. Yeah, pretty much. Unfortunately here. YT says, it's grizzled young vets, and I wish they'd go back to NXT UK. They were treated better there. And that's the thing, guys. Again, they're a good tag team. We know this. But we already got to see them wrestle with the hoods and everything. And that really took a lot away. It was very distracting. Just take off the red hoods. I don't know what they got to do, but take off the red hoods. Like, it's cool when they wear them backstage for those skits and stuff, but in the ring, I'm not a fan of those. I'm not a fan of those at all. Take off the damn hoods. Alba Fire versus Lash Legend. This, I feel bad, but I could not get into whatsoever. This was not for me. This was, I hate to say it, but I just didn't care about this. Again, Alba Fire has a great entrance. She should be going up against Mandy Rose for the championship. She should be a champion. She's got all the tools. She's got all the tools in her arsenal. She's got what it takes. But putting her in this storyline with Lash Legend has completely brought her down. Like, I'm not a fan of this. Alba Fire wins via DQ because Lash Legend uses her bat. She uses her bat, and that's how Alba Fire gets the win, but it's via disqualification. Very, very little interest in this. I feel bad, but this is not for me, guys. This one's not for me. Man. Oof. All right, moving on from here. The main event, which was Carmelo Hayes versus Tony D'Angelo for the NXT North American Championship. You know what? Now that I look at it, I would say that the first half of NXT today wasn't too bad. Like, it wasn't bad because we had Cameron Grimes and Idris Sanofi. That was good. The Wesley promo, that was good too. And then everything else was okay, right? It was fine. I think it was the second half of NXT that was brutal because we had Von Wagner versus Brooke Jensen. We had the Joe Gacy promo. We had Alba Fyre versus Lash Legend. And then we had the main event with Carmelo Hayes and Tony D'Angelo. I was not a fan of this main event, guys. And the reason here's the thing. Tony D'Angelo is good in the skits and all of that. And he's good when, like, he has some sort of stipulation in a match, whether it's a street fight or whatever, right? When there's weapons involved, I think he's good. But in a straightforward match, it's just not happening there just yet for me. So in this match with Carmelo Hayes is obviously at a different level. He's at a higher level. And I think he did the best he could, but this match was a little bit hard to get into. Like, I really, really struggled getting invested in this match. But I liked the finish, though. In fact, I loved the finish. I thought the finish was awesome because you had so Tony D'Angelo wanted the brass knucks from Santos Escobar, okay? And Santos Escobar is like, you want this? And he's like, yeah, like, give them to me. You know, I need them to win this match, etc., right? So he wanted to cheat. And so Santos Escobar is like, okay, fine, here. And he slides over the brass knucks, but he kind of does so in a very obvious way. He kind of throws it past Tony D'Angelo to the point where Tony D'Angelo, like, it wasn't aimed directly at Tony D'Angelo. So instead, Carmelo Hayes gets the brass knucks, and Carmelo Hayes ends up using the brass knucks, and that's how Carmelo Hayes wins this match and ends up retaining the NXT North American Championship. So I loved the finish. The finish was great, but the match itself was, I could have passed very, very hard on it. But congratulations, Carmelo Hayes retains. Good. That's what we were expecting. And it just continues this story between Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar. I'm liking it. I like how, you know, upset Santos looks every single time that Tony D'Angelo's like bossing him around and you just have Santos Escobar making the like, ugh, face. I love those. I love that reaction from Santos Escobar. But again, good finish, not so great actual match there. All right, let's see what people are saying here. Let's see. This is from Joshua Goldberg, who says, just because two wrestlers are good generally does not mean that they will gel in a match together. It stinks, but it happens. Brandon Rosen says this was more of a way to start a war between the D'Angelo family and Legado del Fantasma. Yeah, it's more so to lead the storyline. We knew that, especially with the finish, was very obvious and, you know, actions that occurred earlier on in the show here. Cadillac Carson says, I wonder how they will explain Two Dimes being gone. I believe that's happening, well, next week technically. Yeah, next week, because this show today was pre-taped. We already knew that last week's and this week's show was pre-taped, so we already knew that. But next week we'll see what happens. Let's see what else we got here. We got Christopher putting over Legado del Fantasma. Agree, I'm a fan of theirs, really big fan of theirs there. And there you go, guys. That was NXT 2.0. A simple show here today, but you know what? We're here every week. Some weeks are a little bit stronger than others, and there's other weeks like this. But if you guys enjoyed today's recap, please give this video a like, subscribe to F4W Online. And once again, guys, this podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So if you do listen to this podcast and you do enjoy it, please go leave a review. I have like no reviews. It's very, very sad. I just need to promote it more. So I'm promoting it now. Every single show, I'm going to be promoting the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So make sure you guys go leave a review, a nice one. If it's a bad review, I'm just going to cry. Just kidding. No, I won't. But still, go give it some love, etc. It really helps me out a lot and help out the channel and all of that good stuff. So please also subscribe to F4W Online. Today I did turn on subscribers only mode to help encourage that as well. But until next time, I will see you guys back here tomorrow for AEW Dynamite heading into Forbidden Door. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone.